You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, June 30th, 2025. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlvin.com. Glad you could join us for this Monday installment of the Daily Nationalist, or as I like to refer to it, Daily Mail Monday, where we look at some intriguing, sometimes humorous stories brought to us by the Daily Mail, which, as I always say, I start off with this long list. You go through their page. They're putting more and more stories behind a paywall, which is making things a little more difficult. And no, I will not be paying. So we may have to abandon the Daily Mail Monday at some point. Also, I don't do stories about Meghan Markle, the royal family, or various celebrities. So we wind up culling down our selection rather quickly. But nevertheless, I do have three or four or so stories lined up that I thought we would get into. So without further ado, let's look at it. And our first story is one of the things that's national headlines over here today. And this is this ambush of these firefighters in Idaho. Now, as with all stories, we have to start. It's reasonable to start from the standpoint of looking at the track record and understanding that the narrative presented to us by the media is always going to be a lie. We don't know how much of it is a lie, but they're known liars. They always lie to us. So we always have to be skeptical when we look at these stories. And this one is not an exception. The headline here is terrifying new details emerge from Idaho shooting ambush after sniper wielding gunman lit blaze as bait. Now, you notice the missing word here is allegedly. You know, they use that term very selectively. Now, before we get into this, of course, even questioning the narrative will get you labeled as what? A crazy crackpot conspiracy theorist. And yet one of the stories I skipped and I'm not using here from the Daily Mail is an entire story dedicated to people spreading a theory on social media that this is a revenge attack for some kind of neo-Nazi compound that had been burned down in the area back in like 2001. I didn't use that story because the entire thing is just randos on the internet saying, well, this could be it. And I mean, I don't know if it has anything to do with that or not, but neither do they. And I always find it ironic that the people who are so quick to label somebody questioning their narratives as a conspiracy theorist and spreading misinformation, harmful misinformation, will then turn around and publish an entire story of people just theorizing on the internet. I always look at those sort of things as trial balloons. They're seeing if these ideas are going to float, if they're going to catch any traction or not, so they know whether to move them forward. You know, instead of just jumping out and saying, oh, well, this is this, they float these things out there and see if people go, oh, yeah, I could buy into that, and then they'll go forward with it. If not, they'll back off and float another idea out there. This, too, I think, is a pretty good clue that they're liars, because the truth is the truth. You just tell the truth. When you have to float different stories, different ideas, different narratives out there to see if they gain traction before you move forward with them, I think is a pretty good hint. They're up to no good. A killer sniper's body was discovered after he deliberately started a brush fire to bring firefighters to a mountain before shooting two of them dead. Now, I'm starting right off with a red flag for me. In these stories, it's always handy when the one person who might shed some light on motive or whatever else is always just quite so handily found dead. Now, again, this would raise calls of, oh, you're just making up crazy conspiracy stuff. We look at the track record. Where do we come from with this? Looking at the track record. Remember the Las Vegas shooting? That guy was just quite so conveniently found dead as well. And then they just ignored eyewitness accounts of multiple shooters firing from multiple locations at the same time. Those got brushed under the rug. And they never could coalesce around a bullshit narrative to feed everybody. And so they just gave up and told everybody, we're never going to know this guy's motive. If you believe that, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. You know, because there's no way they wouldn't know this guy's motive. So it's always a red flag for me when you have an incident like this and the shooter just is very conveniently found dead. The unidentified ambush killer was found dead near his gun on Canfield Mountain outside Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, on Sunday evening. His cell phone signal was used to pinpoint his whereabouts and law enforcement exchanged gunfire with the suspect. Red flag number two. This is 2025. And you know, virtually everybody aside from old people has regular access to internet. And somebody, you have to assume that somebody's going to go out and do something like this. They're probably, shall we say, perusing websites that are, you know, out more on the fringe. You know, we're making assumptions, and you know, I'm up front, we're making assumptions with that, but I think that's a pretty fair assumption. If you're somebody of a mindset, you know, what they're alleging here, allegedly, if you were of the mindset that you've hatched this plot, you're going to lure firefighters out, you set a fire, lure firefighters out for some reason, and then sniper them and start killing them, I think it's a pretty fair assumption this person is not just some babe in the woods who just popped up this idea and has never been online. I think it's a pretty reasonable assumption this person has probably been on some darker websites, shall we say, around the block on the interwebs. And he doesn't know not to turn his freaking cell phone off or throw it away. Why was he carrying his cell phone in the first place? You know, I mean, what was the point? What would be the point of this person? You know, if somebody's crazy, you know, and again, we don't know what's going on. We just know that the media is always going to lie and tell us a story. So, you know, with some partial truths perhaps thrown in. But if you theoretically put your mindset into that of somebody who's going to do this, if you were going to do something like that, obviously you wouldn't because you're not a nut job. But if you were, I mean, I don't know about you, but I would figure for starters, I would figure I'm not coming out of this alive. Or if I had an escape plan where I was going to do this and somehow escape, well, the first thing you would do, you'd know you can't have your cell phone with you. So you would toss that bad boy. And this guy had his phone on him. That's how they pinpointed it. Come on now. You know, I mean, come on. We're barely three tiny paragraphs in, and I've already seen two big red flags here to this story. He was later found dead close to his gun, but Kootenai County Sheriff Robert Norris says it's still unclear if the sniper was killed by a cop's bullet or if he took his own life after realizing there was no way out. I guess he realized there was no way out because he took his cell phone. Maybe he was looking online to see what they were saying. The sniper's body was pulled away from the scene just as the blaze the sniper started began to spread across Canfield Mountain. The fire was reported around 1:21 p.m. Two local firefighters, one from the Coeur d'Alene Fire Department and another from Kootenai County Fire and Rescue, were shot and killed while scoping out the scene. Now, I'm not really clear on this part. This was kind of a red flag for me, but then later in the story, it gets a little muddled. But the insinuation here from this paragraph is that there were only two of them there, and I find that weird. You know, firefighter... I would think it would be normal. You're going to have, they're not going to be like two dudes show up and wander up there by themselves. That, you know, they're going to be a whole bunch of them go up there. How are you going to fight a fire with two guys? Fires spread fast if you have dry foliage. And two guys scoping up, going up there and scoping it out. That sounds strange to me. I would think they would send multiple brush trucks and fire trucks up there, tankers and everything else, to fight this fire, depending on how large it is. It sounds weird to me that it's insinuated here that there's only two guys wandered up there, just perfect targets. Now, I didn't include this as one of my red flags because later in the story, it sounds like there were multiple firefighters there. So why was it just these two guys and why were the others somehow unharmed? It still sounds like they were kind of back here and these guys went up by themselves. This is kind of, and this, you know, to be fair, this may just be really poor writing, which we're used to from the Daily Mail. So it's kind of unclear how this is going down. But it just seems weird. It's written like only these two guys showed up. Also, talking about just two people versus multiple people showing up. Have you ever noticed, and if you ever noticed when there's an incident like this, and because this was all over the network news this morning, this one guy allegedly hatched this plan, took his cell phone with him, and shot a couple of firefighters or so. I think he shot more than two, killed two. He shot another third one. But anyway, and yet whenever they show the footage of this, and this, it doesn't matter what the scene. I mean, this is going to be a big deal, even though more people than that were probably shot last night in Chicago. I don't know. But even on your local news, like, you know, oh, there was a domestic violence in this neighborhood that ended in somebody being shot. But whenever they show the footage, do you ever notice there's like 800 police cars there? And they all have their lights on. Like somebody is, if everybody doesn't leave their lights on. There's always 800 cop cars there. And there's always this army of cops out there. And they're all standing around bullshitting. You ever notice that? Even on your local news? It's like, a homeowner today shot his wife during a domestic dispute. Okay. And you'd expect, okay, well, there are a couple cops there. They've already arrested the guy, you know, because the news story, they're out there filming. The guy's already in custody or whatever. And, you know, and the incident might have happened 6 hours ago. And, you know, on the local news, they show out there and there's like, you know, 117 police cars out there, all of them with their lights on and all these cops standing around shooting the shit. Especially funny if they're all wearing their army getup, you know, their tactical gear. And they got their assault rifles, their ARs, and their helmets on. And it's like, well, the guy's already dead or arrested or whatever the case may be. Why are you all standing around bullshitting? I mean, why doesn't somebody show up and say, okay, well, we have this in hand. We don't need all of you here. Go back and get some work done. Quit milking the clock. Anyway. A third was left fighting for his life after being struck and rushed to surgery, but is now described as being in stable condition. Police are now investigating whether the gunman may have made the original call to 911 about the fire on Canfield Mountain in an effort to get firefighters to the scene, with Norris saying he is not ruling out the possibility. This was a total ambush. These firefighters did not have a chance, Norris said. The identity of the firefighters and shooters has not been released. So yeah, we'll see where this story winds up going, or if it just simply disappears. At some point they're going to release identities, and always be wary too that the media will try to, you know, when it comes to any criticism like we're doing here of the narrative, they will try to shoehorn you into an extreme position that you're not taking. Oh, so you're saying no one was actually killed, huh? No. No, that's not what we're saying. We're just questioning this narrative. There's a couple parts that don't make sense. Let's see what else we can find that doesn't make sense. Oh, here's some more fantastical news, some over-the-top hysterics from the media. As you know, the Israelis have claimed without evidence, I would use the media parlance here, the Israelis have claimed without evidence that Iran has been out to assassinate Trump. They have assassin squads out there trying to hunt down Trump. No evidence of this at all, but that's what they claim. So we have this headline, fatwa declared on Trump by top Iranian cleric who declares president an enemy of God. Now, they know that most people just read headlines, and then after that, they just read a few paragraphs. In fact, that's what we do here, because the Daily Mail is notorious for lots of filler words that have nothing to do with the story. But nevertheless, you always have to know they're counting on this. So when you read a headline on this, a fatwa has been declared on Trump, what do you immediately think? Well, you associate with this with they've put a bounty on his head, you know, because you think of the fatwa against the guy who drew the Muhammad cartoons. Remember that one? So you're supposed to come away with this with the assumption that an Iranian cleric has put a bounty out on President Trump. But is that the case? A top Iranian cleric has issued a fatwa against U.S. President Donald Trump, declaring him an enemy of God. Grand Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Savariz, I don't pronounce that right, I'm not going to pretend I am, said that both Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu were guilty of mubareb, the term in Islamic law for waging a war against God. Shirazi added in the fatwa, any cooperation or support for that enemy by Muslims or Islamic states is haram and forbidden. It is necessary for all Muslims around the world to make these enemies regret their words and mistakes. I don't see anything here that's remotely a death threat. You know, I'm just being fair. You know, they start off with this dramatic headline. And it's obvious they want you to take away this assumption that they've put a bounty out on Donald Trump. But all I see here is a banning of any cooperation by Muslims or Islamic states with the U.S. or Israel. I'm sorry, but this seems like common sense to me. I hope this doesn't get me branded as a terrorist or supporting the terrorists. But I mean, sitting here saying Muslims don't have, you know, should not be cooperating with Israel or the U.S. seems pretty commonsensical. Let's put it another way. If there were two countries, country A and country B, that way we can keep any kind of emotionalism out of it. If country A and country B were waging war against Christian nations and a Christian leader stood up and said, no Christians should cooperate with states A and B because they have been slaughtering Christian people for a long time now, and it's against that. And since they're waging war against Christian people, they're waging war against Jesus Christ himself. Would that sound over the top to you? Do not these very same people insinuate and want you to believe and have for years since at least 9/11, that they not wanted you to think the Muslims are out to get you because you're not Islamic? Have they not promoted this? Very much, and without necessarily coming out and saying it, you see, they're a little more circumspect about it, but they have insinuated, and they want you to have the impression that Islam, that these Muslims all want to kill you because you're not Muslim. You see what I'm saying? And yet, they themselves, when this guy says, if you cooperate against these people, you know, they're waging war against God. When you take the histrionics out of it, the emotionalism out, this just seems like a common sense statement from this guy. I'm sorry, it does. He also said that if a Muslim who abides by his Muslim duty suffer hardship or loss in their campaign, they will be rewarded as a fighter in the way of God, God willing. Again, there's nothing here about killing anybody. He's saying if you suffer hardship, in other words, if you're persecuted for pointing these things out. This is a long way from the obvious insinuation that they're putting a bounty out on Donald Trump. And this is what I mean about we always start from the assumption, you have to start from the assumption that the media lies. You know, I get that there's people out there that don't like Muslims and don't like Islam, and that's whatever. That's fine. I'm not Muslim. But it doesn't change the fact, you know, and maybe you just want me to sit here and rail against Muslims. But you have to, I care about the truth. That's what I care about. I care about the truth here. And I think it's really ridiculous that these people want to sit here and insinuate, they want you to come away with this false impression that this guy is calling for Donald Trump to be killed. And there's nothing here remotely. And it's, again, it's clear that that's what they want you to come away with. They want the headline readers to come away with this idea that these crazy Muslims are at it again, and now they're out to kill Donald Trump. And it's just really a coincidence, isn't it, that that lines up with the Israeli claim that they have assassin squads after Donald Trump. That just lines, what a pure coincidence. you see a pattern. We've seen this pattern before. And, you know, where they'll float an idea out into the public. Like, oh, Iran has hit teams, you know, plotting within the United States to kill Donald Trump. Again, no evidence of this at all. But they float it out there. And they don't push it real hard. They just want the idea in the public consciousness. Then you get a story like this. Oh, this crazy Ayatollah. He even has Ayatollah in his title. He's issued a fatwa against Donald Trump. And again, you're supposed to come away with this. That's like a declaration that he should be killed. And there's nothing in here. There's nothing in this fatwa that I see that is over the top. I don't see anything in it that is remotely a death threat. Again, after Israel and the United States has bombed Iran without, you know, for unprovoked, there's pretty much, after we've witnessed Israel and what they're doing to the Palestinians, after we've witnessed Israel going around and attacking every neighboring country in their neighborhood, and again, look, I could sit here and just like throw red meat at the audience and rail against Muslims, you know, and maybe people would like that. I don't know. I don't care. I just care about the truth. And this is just ridiculous when, again, they've intentionally insinuated and caused strife. And then they turn around, though, and try to twist this as, oh, see, these people are calling for death. You know, death to America. New science has just dropped. Let's keep moving. A new science has just dropped. Archaeology. I'm at this point. Anything related to, quote unquote, the science is... Again, it's like assuming the media lies. It's assuming the new science is just bullshit. And again, coincidentally, just like our last story, coincidentally, this narrative lines up with Israel's unsubstantiated claims that that Iran is trying to kill Trump. You have a new science drop here that happens to line up with a current narrative. Archaeologists make surprising discovery at hidden ancient city site. And so help me, Daily Mail stories. It's entertaining, and that's why I do them. I have a lot of fun, but good night. It's bad when your opening line, and it's again another one of my pet peeves, a one sentence paragraph, and it references the Spice Girls. So we're supposed to take a story about the science seriously when the opening line is the Spice Girls need to move aside as girl power may have started 9,000 years ago. See what I mean? It just so happened the new science has dropped, and lo and behold, it just so happens to line up with one of our favorite current narratives. Archaeologists have unearthed additional evidence. Well, I like evidence. That women, not men, ruled an ancient city in Turkey that has been buried for thousands of years. I'm sure this is going to be very convincing evidence. The discovery could rewrite what we know about the earliest days of civilization and about gender roles throughout history, experts say. We know the track record of the experts. And a landmark study published in Science, researchers analyzing ancient DNA from nearly 400 skeletons at someplace I'm not going to be able to pronounce correctly, Katalik, a remarkably well-preserved Neolithic settlement in southern Turkey, revealed powerful clues that this early civilization operated under a matriarchal system. We're still waiting for this convincing evidence, by the way. You notice that. All of this up to this point has just been hype to get it into our mind. They're telling us what we're supposed to come away with. This is another way you can spot the bullshit, by the way. This is like a form of gaslighting. They haven't gotten to any of this very convincing evidence yet, have they? So what they do is they open up with telling you what they want you to believe before they give this evidence to you. Because otherwise, they jumped right to it, you'd be like, wait a minute, what? So they spend the first part of the story telling you what you're going to come away with seeing. They haven't presented us any of this evidence yet. They used a scientific term, DNA. What DNA? This is going to be rock solid. I'm already skeptical about how you're going to draw DNA out of these allegedly 7,000 or whatever year old, 9,000, I'm sorry, 9,000 year old skeletons. I mean, how much DNA is actually left here? But nevertheless, you can't miss the point that they're telling you what you're supposed to conclude from this before they've actually given you. I don't need you to tell me what I'm supposed to conclude. Give me the evidence and I'll make my own decision. Thank you very much. The settlement, a warren of mud brick homes and goddess-like statues dating back to 7100 BCE, has long been a source of mystery and wonder. Experts have long suspected that women and girls were key figures in this agricultural society. But DNA analysis now confirms that women were buried with far more grave goods than men, and that daughters stay. Okay, now we're going to actually get to this alleged rock solid proof of this wonderful matriarchal society. But DNA analysis now confirms that women were buried with more grave goods than men, and that daughters stayed with their maternal households while sons often left. I'm sorry, I don't see it. I mean, if women were running the show, then, I mean, maybe that is some proof. Men got tired of that shit and said, like, this place is a wreck. We're out of here. The astonishing find. Again, what's so astonishing? They found that some of the women's graves had more stuff in it, and the men weren't really around. They left to go do their own thing. It doesn't really sound to me like women were calling the shots. It sounds to me like men were going off and doing their own thing. Maybe it was a matriarchal society. We don't know it. And this was a allegedly 9,000-year-old version of men going their own way. This was MGTOW in ancient times. You see what I'm saying? You can draw whatever conclusions you want from what they've thrown out here so far. But yet again, there's this reason why they prefaced with any of this alleged evidence by telling you what you're supposed to come away with believing. The astonishing find has electrified. What find? That there was some more trinkets in the women's graves. That's it. That's it. That would be like if thousands of years from now, somebody were to dig up graves from current people buried and be like, oh my gosh, women were running this society because we found that they had far more jewelry on than what men had. So this is a sign. If women had more jewelry or were buried wearing more jewelry, then this shows that women played a key role in running society. The astonishing find has electrified the archaeological world, challenging generations of assumptions about who held power in humanity's earliest cities and suggesting that the world's great urban cultures may have rested on the shoulders of women. Yes, I'm sure women built these mud buildings. These vast structures. Yeah, women went out there and built that. Sure they did. I mean, what were they doing? What are these archaeologists with their shocking discovery? What are they alleging that women actually were doing? That they went out and built these buildings, this vast expanse, this quote-unquote city, this vast expanse of building made out of mud and brick or whatever the hell? Are they suggesting that women built that shit? Because we know that ain't the truth. You see, there's nothing here. This is just a story. The vast settlement spread over 32.5 acres was already known for its sprawling homes, elaborate art, and mysterious goddess-like figurines, which we know women didn't build any of that shit. I'm sorry. They just didn't. Women did not build all these buildings. They didn't. We know it. I know it. You know it. I make that as a factual statement 100% because we all know it. This is just make-believe. This is just pretending. Oh, the whole society was built by women. Women were running. They were calling the shots. What are you basing this on? There was some, you know, there was 4 extra gourds put in the women's graves than men's graves. There could be any number of reasons why they would do that. Like I said, it was like if someone dug up a grave from modern times, centuries in the future, and said, oh, this proves women were running society. They have more jewelry than men do. That doesn't prove anything. It just proves that for whatever reason, they put more shit in the women's graves. Maybe it's stuff nobody wanted. And they're like, you know, she insisted on having all this crap. She can take it to the next life with her. It was that important to her. She can take it. It would be like akin to if a woman died today and her husband buried her with all them damn shoes she thought she had. She had to have all these shoes. What's he going to do with it? She's the one that had to have them. She's the one that bought them all. So he throws them in the grave. She can take them shoes to the next life with her. They were really important to her. You think about that. You bury things with people that were important to them. So women tend to, you know, accumulate more trinkets that are important to them, whether it's shoes, jewelry, or whatever the hell. It makes sense that it was important to them. So you would put that in their grave with them because it was important to them. It wasn't important to anybody else. Otherwise, you wouldn't have buried it, right? You know, if a guy dies today, you don't bury his entire gun collection with him, do you? No. But you bury a woman's trinkets with her. And they wonder why nobody believes they're experts anymore. All it takes is just a minute of looking through their gaslighting. You know, once you recognize these things, it's so easy to wade through this. I don't phone in any show I do. I always put in my best effort. It may not sound like it. You know, I'll admit, I don't claim to knock them out of the ballpark week in and week out. But I never phone it in. But I'll tell you, these stories like this are the closest thing to phoning in because it's so easy. This is easy stuff. You just look at it. Once you spot the patterns, oh, we're going to start off telling you what we're alleging. Then we're going to gaslight you by telling you what conclusions you should come to. Then we'll get around to our actual evidence of this, which is nothing. There's literally nothing here. Signs that men left. Well, yeah, I mean, they're not, as opposed to what? They're going to sit around the house with the women? The men, how were these women that were running society staying alive? You know, eating, having clothing, being protected. Oh, because the men went out to provide those things and bring them back. No, the women were just sitting around being prosperous all on their own or something. You see, the more you pick it apart, the more ridiculous it becomes, doesn't it? And all you have to do is look at what they allege and then take the thread and start pulling it. Oh, the men were leaving and the women were there and the daughters stayed there with their moms and were buried with more trinkets. This proves they were running a society. They were running a society. So who was bringing them food back? You know, more than likely the men were going out and raiding or hunting. And those are activities that are going to lead them to dying. And more than likely, they died and were just buried out there wherever they were. If you went out within like a 10-mile radius of this, if you could do it and find random places, that's probably where all the men are buried, out there on the field where they were raiding or whatever. Oh, man. And they wonder why. And you still have people. You still have NPCs who will sit there and try to virtue signal about, I trust the science. I believe the science. And this is what passes for the science. This is, I trust in the experts. And this is what passes for the experts. This is the kind of nonsensical bullshit that passes for the experts. Whenever I see, because once in a while you'll see somebody with like a bumper sticker, you know, science is not a conspiracy theory or some horseshit. You know, there is somebody who just believes whatever they're told. When somebody says they trust the science, they trust the experts, what they mean is they believe anything the media tells them. You know you're dealing with an NPC. Don't waste your time. Anyway, we're not wasting our time here. We are going to go ahead and wrap up. I appreciate you joining. I hope you got some. I hope you had some fun with today's story. Always striving to the truth, but having a little entertaining, having a little chuckle here and there with all of it, because some of this is so nonsensical. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, of course, will be here Wednesday with his Orthodox Nationalist. We wrap up on Thursdays here. It's not a unique thing. We wrap up every week on Thursday. Dr. Johnson will wrap our Thursday up with his daily Nationalist program. It'll be July 4th. America time. I hate it because fireworks. I hate it because you're trying to sleep at night and these damn fireworks are going. Anyway, July 4th will be this Friday. So if you're in America, you can support your freedom and all of that or whatever it is you do. So anyway, yeah, I hope you enjoy America. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.